Obsidian is volcanic glass, and it's basically a mineral. It has the property that if you know what you're doing, you can shape this mineral, chip this mineral in a manner that gives it a very fine, clean cutting edge. We tend to forget about obsidian in our culture because we have a wide assortment of metal tools. But in fact, there are certain surgeons, particularly eye surgeons, who think so highly of the sharp cutting edges that obsidian can give you that they prefer obsidian scalpels to metal tools when they do delicate eye operations. Obsidian is found at archaeological sites in Mesoamerica as early as you have villages, which goes back well more than 3,000 years ago in Mesoamerica. And from that time, people procured obsidian from its sources through trade and exchange to use at their communities for cutting all different kinds of materials, sometimes for arrow points, sometimes for ornamental purposes, but it was highly valued and traded long distances. In contrast, the people of Mesoamerica did not have metal until about 650 AD. And even when we get metal in Mesoamerica and they were making it there, they did not use it for tools. They instead used it for ornaments. Obsidian is a volcanic material produced through volcanic eruptions. And in Mesoamerica, there probably were less than 50 major obsidian sources. These sources of obsidian became places that were mined for the material that was then often traded across Mesoamerica from the beginning of village life in the region. Obsidian has a characteristic that was discovered decades ago by archaeologists that is very handy. And that is that every source of obsidian has a different suite of trace elements that are part of the composition of that particular source of obsidian. And for that reason, it becomes extremely useful to archaeologists, because if you find a piece of obsidian at a site, you can subject it to compositional analysis, and that compositional analysis can tell you where the obsidian piece originated from. So archaeologists for decades have been studying obsidian as a primary indicator of exchange routes and communication connections. Our study began a number of years ago with an interest in the obsidian that one of my predecessors, J. Eric Thompson, a famous archaeologist, found in his excavations at the site of San Jose in Belize back in the 1930s, so quite some time ago. We had a particular interest in Thompson's obsidian, which had never been sourced as to its sources of origin. And so using X-ray fluorescence, we studied pretty much our entire corpus of obsidian from J. Eric Thompson's excavations at San Jose. This was the genesis of the analysis that we are looking at now. When we looked at the distributions of obsidian over time, we noted a really interesting pattern, and that is during the Middle Classic period, about 5 to 800 AD, we saw that the obsidian throughout the Maya region was dominated by El Chayal obsidian, and it seemed to be moving primarily through riverine trade routes from the source and up into the heart of the classic Maya region. However, starting at that time and continuing through the very terminal classic and into the early post-classic, Ishtapeke obsidian, which pretty clearly seemed to be moving by sea routes or along the coast, began to cut into the abundance of the El Chayal obsidian. And so by the time you get to the post-classic, it seems pretty clear that most of the obsidian coming to the Maya area was moving by the sea, not just Ishtapeke coming from the south, but also a number of Mexican obsidian sources that were moving around the northern Yucatan and then coming south from there. So we saw pretty clearly that the access to obsidian was shifting, and the routes or networks through which people were getting this obsidian was shifting. But what made this particularly interesting is that this whole shift began while the classic period Maya centers were still going strong and were dominating demographically the distribution of people in the region. And so it looks like this changing pattern of obsidian trade, and perhaps that indicating other goods moving through similar channels as well, preceded the collapse of those inland Paten Maya centers. And the changing exchange routes may have been one precipitating factor in this decline. The great thing about this project is that it really shows us the importance of museum collections and the importance of keeping good care of artifacts dug up with good context over 50 years ago, in that they can still tell us new information and give us new perspectives on the past that the original excavators could not have ever imagined. In addition, I think that it's been a great pleasure to work with the set of scholars that are part of this study, and seeing some new researchers come along and bring new techniques and analyses to problems that we've been working on for practically 50, 75 years.